We started talking last week about the armor of God, and just as a little reminder, I told you that we've heard about this armor of God a lot of times, but we usually hear it preached in one message. A lot of times we hear something preached, and then we go home, and like that's the end of it. But God wants us to own that armor, not just understand it, not just get it in our head, not just try to do it, and certainly not hear about it and go home and forget it. There is a move of God coming. There is something of God coming that is big, that is powerful. And whenever God does something big and powerful, so does the enemy. You know, he's got like spies that listen in and they hear prophecy. And when they hear a prophecy that God is going to do something big, they start attacking. They attack you because God is in you. So you become their target. Now, if you don't know how to wear the armor of God, you easily go down. Because the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why day after day after day, we fall to the same things. So God wants us to fully own this beautiful armor. And remember, I told you that this armor is not made of steel. It's not even made of gold. It is made of diamonds. Every piece of armor is pure diamond. It is God himself, but it's multifaceted. It's transparent. So when the enemy looks at us, he's not seeing flesh. He's seeing God. Right through us, he can see God. And all the facets of God will come forward and step against the enemy. That's how we have to learn to wear the armor of God. If we fight in the flesh, we fail. I don't care what good thing you do, what you know, how hard you try. If you are doing it, it's not big enough. It's not strong enough. So we need to own this armor of God. I went through studying the armor of God for a while, and I started taking all these notes and saying, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. But then when I got ready to start bringing it, God said, I want you to take one piece per week. And I want you to bury yourself in owning that piece for the entire week before you bring it. So now it has come from one piece of armor today, the number one piece, to one piece of armor and one weapon. Because the weapons of God are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we're going to wear the armor and we're going to yield a weapon each week. So today we're going to take the first piece, but let's start by reading Ephesians 6. Starting in verse 10 through 13.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
That's the general introduction we went through last week. Today we're going to talk about the first piece of armor. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins are this lower part of your body. They used to wear a girdle. They would gird it all the way around, and it would make them strong. When you go to war, when you go to training, boot camp, when you go to exercise class, they tell you your core strength has got to be there. Everything rests on that core strength. Well, your core strength is deep down in your spirit realm. You can't go to war with a mental understanding or a physical, or you sure can't go in with your emotions ruling. You've got to have a core strength built on the truth of God, many truths of God. There are so many truths in the Word of God and in the experience of walking with God that build this piece of armor, build that core strength. So we're going to talk about some of that today. This also refers to, in this core area, is your reproductive system. This is the part of you that can produce life. And only God can produce life. So we have to have strength in God to continually pump new life into us. He is our life source. We must be extremely dependent on Him when we're in battle for life. Only His presence, His character, His power can give us this core strength. Look at Romans 8, 31 through 32.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
So we need God to be for us. If you're battling in any flesh, God steps back. I need God to step forward. I need God to step forward. Stand up. A lot of times, we've got God in us. He's in me everywhere I go. I'm safe. Jesus is in me. He goes everywhere I go. And then Spencer makes me mad, and I'm like, okay, I'll just do what I know to do that I learned in Scripture. I'll give him a soft answer. Oh, Spencer, I'm sorry you're mad at me, but, you know, I'm not mad. You know, do you ever have anybody be sweet when you're mad and you just want to slap the smile off their face?
Yep.
I'm using a biblical principle. A soft answer turns away wrath. It's not working. It's fueling his wrath. But if I step back and let God step up, the difference, the Spirit of God can say the same thing with the power of love and peace to reach out and touch this person. I'm so sorry I offended you. Please forgive me. But there's love. There's power in it because God did it. Not me doing what God would do. Imitating Jesus is powerless. Imitating him.
Amen.
We got away with that for a long time because we've been babies. We've been in boot camp. We've been in training. We've been babies. So we learn things about God and then we know them and then we just jump ahead and do them. We forget to step back into God and let him come forward in spirit. I'm not going to go on about when nice is really not nice. That's another message. But I've been guilty of that soft answer being done in the flesh and just making that devil madder and madder. We'll talk about that another time. So these truths of God have to be fulfilled through God, not through us trying to do them. Romans 8, I think it's 11 through 15, if you're still there.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Read verse 18 also.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
So I want to talk about who are you in Christ? Who is Christ in you? That is one of the first truths, two truths you have got to own, not to be afraid of death. Now we're coming to a time. The devil's been shooting us dead spiritually for years. I mean, he comes up, he attacks us, bam, we fall spiritually. Then we go back to God and we get up. I'm sorry, God. He forgives us and we're restored. It would be wonderful if we could take this truth and learn how not to go down spiritually dead when we get hit. But there may even be a time where it's your physical life. You know, Paul said the sufferings of this lifetime are not worthy to be compared. To finish that sentence for me in 18.
I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Now, glory is the presence and the goodness of God. When Moses said, I want to see your glory, all the goodness of God passed before him. It was amazing to see the full good, and he only saw the back part of it, just a touch of it. The glory of God is supposed to be revealed in us. God himself revealed through us is how the glory will cover this earth. The sufferings of your present life, they aren't even worth comparing to what God wants to do through your life. The glory of God shining out of your life will thrill you. It will satisfy you. It will take care of everything you ever needed and wanted. That glory fills the deepest part of your hungering and craving and needing. It heals your pains. It fills everything you were created for. Just releasing the glory of God through you. And then we compare that to, I don't have a car. Poor me. I don't have a car. If I only had a car, I could be cool. I could be happy. I could go get a date and take a girl out. If I only had a car, I wouldn't have to walk everywhere I go. If I only had a car. If only I were thin. If only I were smart enough to make big money. If only I had. If only I were. If only I didn't have all this oppression of people picking on me all the time. If only. All those things. They're not even worth bringing up compared to what you would get if you would let the glory of God live in you. Amen. You, because when you let the glory of God live in you, you come into oneness with him. You find out who you really are. You are not that mom who's screaming at her kids. You are not that person who's basking in self-pity all the time. You're not that person raging in anger. You're not. That is the enemy living in you. It's the enemy living in you. He can't be satisfied. Hell is never satisfied, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Only when the devil is the spirit living in you in his darkness, his greed, his lust, his discontent, his anger, it destroys you. And what are we angry about? What are we jealous about? What are we greedy about? Sufferings of this present life. What are you suffering in this present life? It isn't worthy to be compared to the glory of God that wants to live in you and through you. It would be totally. Why did Paul sit in prison singing? Because the glory of God sat in prison with him, singing. Amen. If you go to prison, take the glory of God in there, shine all over those prisoners who need him. And you'll sit in prison happy. If you don't have a house and you have to move, take the glory of God where he moved you. Amen. And you'll still be happy. There is nothing that can steal your joy if it's in the glory of God shining through you and in you. People, I pray God opens your eyes to what he wants for you. To how he's trying to bring you into a different realm, the kingdom of heaven. He's trying to prepare you for the war that is coming. There is a war coming to the people of God. What you have or don't have, what people are saying, it's really totally unimportant in eternity. It's the devil's weapons to destroy you and keep you out,
right,
unprepared for the battle.
Amen.
It's not against you, really. The war is between God and Satan.
Right.
You're the conduit they fight through. You're the conduit. They've restricted themselves. The spirit must work through a human. They fight through you. And you are the trophy one of them will take home tonight. We'll take one of those spirits will take you home today. Whose trophy do you want to be? We have to get ready. Verse 35 through 39, Romans 8.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Nothing the devil does to you, takes from you, says about you, can separate you from the love of God. That alone ought to put some joy in us. That alone ought to give us some fighting strength. That alone ought to thrill you. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Christ died for us while we were sinners. Now we expect ourselves to change. We expect ourselves to behave. But one of the tricks of the enemy is to keep you mad at you. It's to keep you mad at yourself. Well, you need to know who, two things. You need to know who your God is, and you need to know who you are in God. If you have accepted Christ, if he is your Savior, if he is living in you, then you need to know who you really are in him. Because the devil wants to attack that. He wants to come along to you and say, you are wicked, hopeless, sinner. You are never going to change. You did it again. You do this over and over. You stole the cookies from the cookie jar. You are a thief. Now, maybe you're guilty of stealing the cookies from the cookie jar. Maybe you did do it. So you go home. I'm never going to change, man. I just wanted that cookie so bad, and I just took it, and I'm guilty, and I'm wrong. You know, I'm being nice. We're not talking about the real stuff we do. But the devil wants to beat you up. He wants to condemn you. When the devil confronts your sin, he does it to blame, condemn, bring guilt, bring shame. And when you agree with him, you go and say the same things to yourself. I'm no good. I'm bad. I'll never change. But when God confronts your sin, when God confronts your sin, he brings forgiveness, cleansing, correction to set you free.
Right.
That's the difference. We've had this big thing going on about sin. A lot of people want to say, oh no, all my sins under the blood of Jesus. I don't sin anymore. You know, I hear this in the healing realm. Somebody's walking around saying, I have no pain in my leg. I am the healed. I am the healed. I have no pain in my leg. What does that say to the world? Are you stupid? You have pain in your leg. And you're crippled and you're telling me you're not. It doesn't even make sense. Calling forth those things that are not mean I won't be forever. God's going to heal me.
Amen.
God is going to heal me. I believe him. I trust him. It's not denying the truth that's there in your face.
Exactly.
Yes, we're sinners. Yes, we're sinners.
Yeah.
And we still sin.
Right.
But to the devil, the answer is none of your business, really.
Right.
Because Jesus took care of it.
Amen.
Hold on a minute. Devil confronts me. You're a sinner. You did it again. You're so wicked. You lost your temper. You screamed at everybody. You're never going to change. You are right. I am a sinner. But all my sin is on him. Talk to him. You talk to him about it. I'm not accountable to you. Not accountable to you. And what Jesus' word is to him is, he just waves him off. You know it's under the blood. Get out of here. And then he turns to you. Did you take those cookies? Yes, Jesus. I took the cookies. I'm so sorry I took the cookies. But I really wanted that cookie. You know, I really wanted it. What do I do when I really want a cookie? And he deals with you to love you. You're already forgiven. He wants to get you free from the prison of that sin.
Amen.
But when you agree with your enemy, you fuel him. Because now that spirit comes in you, and he is getting you full of the same spirit. Now you got double trouble. Stop agreeing with him. Don't even talk to him except to say, you're right, I'm a sinner. Talk to Jesus about it. Step aside. Let Jesus face him. That's part of your armor. Owning the fact that you are forgiven is part of your armor. If you don't own it, he's going to shoot you dead again and again and again with guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. All he has to do is come up and remind you where you're weak, and you'll crumble. It doesn't matter where you're weak. It matters to Jesus. Don't let the devil own that in you anymore. Don't walk around in guilt and shame. Don't, you know what? When somebody's mad at you, you get mad back. You feed the spirit of anger. And now there's two of them. He's got one, and so do you. Now the devil's double strong. Don't feed the devils. Don't feed them. Run back into Jesus. What do you want to do with this, Jesus? Know who you are. You are a sinner. But you're a saved sinner.
Amen.
If Christ is in you. Amen. You are forgiven. You are not accountable to that devil anymore.
Amen.
And God never, ever approaches us with that attitude.
Right.
Never does God say, I am so tired of your sin. If that's what you're hearing from the devil.
Right.
You are never going to stop. That is the devil. God's
right.
Not hopeless.
Right.
Learn to know the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
He is good and kind and gentle.
Amen.
If he's after your sin, he's after loving you and delivering you, not condemning you.
Right.
Not at all. Not at all. I owned this more this week. This is one of my weaknesses. That's why I'm going on about it. It's one of my weaknesses. Man, he can use any of you. I don't care how nice you talk. If you come up and tell me I'm doing something wrong, I'll go home and beat myself up for days. I'm good at that. I'm bad at that. Not good, bad. I go into self-condemnation. And the devil loves it. So God said, you need to own this one. So you know how I owned this one? I went to Isaiah 53. I went to Isaiah 53. This is how you own strengthening a weakness. The Word of God.
Amen.
Is a powerful two-edged sword. With one edge, he whacks off the head of the enemy. And with the other edge, he gets you right down in the depths. And he cuts apart your spirit and your soul. And he tries to save your spirit.
Right.
Out of all that soulish nonsense of thoughts
Amen.
And emotions.
Amen.
So I went to the Word and I said, God, I need to own Isaiah 53. I need to own it. I need to see you suffering for my personal sin in such a real way that I own the fact I don't ever have to suffer for it. And I saw it. I saw it. I saw Jesus over there. Even Jesus all day. Come on, you might as well be him again. I see Jesus over there at the cross. But I see him beyond the cross. And here we are over here beating ourselves up. I'm just useless. I'm just hopeless. I don't know what to do. And there's Jesus saying, I already took that. But God, I lied. Pew! There's your lie. But God, I keep losing my temper. Pew, pew, pew. Whip with 40 pieces of glass tied to it. Whipping and ripping his skin off because I lied. And I saw it like I was, every time I'm whining about my sin, he's taken that stripe. He's taken that. They're nailing his hands every time I'm griping about my sin. He's going, can't you see? I took it. I took it. I took it. Stop punishing yourself. I took it. When the devil says, you lied. Oh, God, I'm sorry for those stripes. I'm so sorry, Jesus. I love you. Thank you for taking it. Thank you for taking it. Help me to stop doing it. Don't deny your sin. Run to him, the crucified one
Amen.
Who took it
Amen.
And see it on him.
Amen.
See it on him.
Amen.
See it beating him.
Amen.
And you'll know it's already been punished. And then his eyes are full of tears saying, why do you let the enemy punish you?
Right.
Why? Don't you get it? I'm right here. My love was so powerful. I took such agony so you wouldn't have to.
Right.
So why are you doing it? Why are you taking it? Please run to me and
Amen.
See that I took it. I
Amen.
Took it. Stop punishing yourself. I took it. It's a trick of the devil. It's an arrow of the devil. It's right against your salvation. You got to own this. You got to own this truth. So he can't kill you
Amen.
Spiritually. And you won't be afraid. So you won't be afraid. I'm not afraid today to stand up to the devil about my sin, because now I own it in a bigger way. So when he wants to come and tell me, I'm just going to dismiss him. Step back. Take him, Jesus. All yours.
Amen.
It's your fight.
Exactly.
It's your fight. But it can go beyond your spiritual life. It can go to your physical death. How much do you own your salvation? Are you ready to die physically, leave this world? Because it's coming. It's coming. This war is coming. And it's not going to stop at the spirit. It's not going to stop at messing up your thoughts. It's not going to stop at breaking your heart, stealing your loved ones. It may kill you physically. Can you stand in war ready to die? How could you stand in war ready to die? Well, you couldn't do it if you think you might wake up in hell. When I was 18, I already felt my life was destroyed. All kinds of things. Attempted suicide. And then I started praying like crazy. God, don't let me die. My friend says I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I was scared to die. You know when a soldier goes out to battle and he goes out there and he knows the enemy is shooting at him? He's seen other people fall to the ground. Is he going to stand or is he going to run when somebody points a gun at him? Depends on if he knows where he's going. Depends if he's ready to die for the cause. This is recruiting season. We've lost people here. We'll probably lose more of you. I hope not. I pray not. But it's time to go to war.
Amen.
It's time to go to war. A reminder, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Right.
We're not going to chop off heads. We're not going to take up guns. We're not going to become a little sect of people that hides all our weapons and we're ready to have a revolution and overthrow the government. No. We're going to fight with love.
Right.
We're going to fight with peace.
Yep.
We're going to fight with everything opposite of violence. Are you ready to die? Physically? Spiritually? I mean fleshly, so you can love spiritually. Mentally? Your thoughts? Are they under control? Your emotions? What's ruling your life right now? How you feel? What you think? What you want? What you don't like? Or the love of God? Is the love of God what pumps your life into you? Is that what pumps life into you? Is that where it's at? I have to stick to my message, Larry. But I'm very tempted to preach your dream and your visitation because it's so right on for this body. So right on. Prophet Larry over there has been getting dreams and visitations that are right in line with what God is doing here.
Right.
And I want to share them. But I'm going to share a little mini capsule right here. From the past, history, many, many years, many moves of God, there is something that has never been birthed of God yet. And he's touching us with it today. He's touching this generation. Will you be the generation that will birth this thing? I got hit. I was on his dream praying for a week. Every day, God giving me more and more parts of it in the spirit. And I'm driving down the road and I'm looking at this hallway of art and people walking by it. And the spirit just burst out of me crying, will there be a generation that will let me birth this thing? Will there be? Will you be? Will you let God birth this move in this place? It won't just come with, yes, Lord. It will come with the way we have to prepare.
That's right.
We have to prepare.
Right.
We have to own the armor. Please don't just hear this. Please go home. Get into that one piece. Who am I in Christ? Who is Christ in me? Do I own my salvation in a way that I'm ready to die for it? Am I ready? No, we're not. That's why we need to get ready. God wants to get us ready.
Right.
He wants to get us ready. So when the devil attacks, James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How do we do it? I acknowledge Psalm 32, 5. I'm using a lot of scripture because scripture is the power that will cut us,
Amen.
Separate soul and spirit. We need his power. Psalm 32, 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, O God. Who do we acknowledge it to? Only God, not the devil. I acknowledge it unto thee, O God. And my iniquity have I not hid. You know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If we just choose to go live in iniquity and ignore God, he won't even hear us when we pray. But the minute we confess, he cleanses us and forgives us. We have to admit it to him. We cannot live in this new philosophy. I don't have any sin. It's all under the blood. That takes me right to the verse, woe to those that trample underfoot the Son of God.
Amen.
To take your salvation lightly and say, doesn't matter what I do, it's all on Jesus, is trampling him under your feet.
Yep.
No honor to what he did for you. You won't get away with that. None of us will. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Can you read that one, DBJ? 1 John. Remember, when we do confess it to God, all we find is mercy, deliverance. He wants to set us free. We were not saved to continue in sin, but to be delivered,
Amen.
From the prison of sin.
Right.
So it won't hold us captive anymore. 1 John 1, 5 through 10.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
All my sins were laid on Jesus. So far as the east is from the west, has he removed our transgressions from us. I had a little song in here. All my sins were laid on Jesus. And as soon as I thought of a song, I remembered I didn't have you do your song yet. But Janiyah has a song about the armor. We'll have it afterwards. I wanted it before and after, and I forgot to call her up. Romans 8, 1 through 18. I'm not going to read the whole thing there, but you can write that down and take it home. Romans 8, 1 through 18. We read much of it already. It says, the law of the Spirit in us is love. It's mercy. It's kindness. Even to yourself. You know, we take people to court. Take yourself to court if you need to. If you're mad at yourself for what you did, then take yourself to court. And then choose to drop charges just like you do when you forgive someone else. Forgive yourself.
Amen.
What if I have to do it 49 times a day? 7 times 7, God says forgive. Daily. 7 times 70, 490 times a day, excuse me. I don't know if I ever hit 490 times, but it sure felt like it on some days that I needed to forgive myself. The truth of the written word will help you. I love Isaiah 53. I mean, just what that did in me this week. Ask God to quicken it. Read it. Pray it. Ask God to stand you there in Isaiah 53 till you own it. The truth of the Holy Spirit of God is with you in battle. You need to memorize verses from the written word. You need to know the written word. Take those verses. But then, like I showed you, in stepping back and letting God step forward, the Holy Spirit is there with you. He will give you what to say. He will give you what to do. And he will empower it if you'll step back and ask him to step forward. He will do it. In Mark 13:11 says, "But when they shall lead you and deliver you, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do premeditate it. But whatever shall be given you in that hour, that you speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Holy Ghost." He knows the mind of the enemy. He knows things we don't know. I don't care how much we think we know. We don't know the wisdom, what to speak, when to speak, and we don't have the power to put life in it. We have to let him come forward.
Amen.
Call on him. And when it says don't premeditate, it doesn't mean don't know the scripture. We're like a computer. Take it in, take it in, take it in, take it in. And then when you're on the battleground, he'll push the button and bring up the right one.
Right.
And he'll empower it. So even if you think you know, back up.
Right.
Let the Spirit do it. He knows everything. Again in Luke 12:12, "For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what you ought to say." Don't trust your own thoughts. What do we do if somebody hurts us? That's the hardest thing. Because you know the enemy, he can bring people I don't know. They can say anything they want to. It's just like, roll right off. What do I care what you think of me? But when someone I love hurts me, that's another story. Our emotions just, wow, they flare up. We can't get rid of them. We can't lay them down. It's like, it won't let go. You know, you're going to talk and talk and talk and tell everybody and tell your husband and tell your friend and tell. You're hoping somebody can heal you, and they can't. They can't do it. Only God can do it. John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatever I said unto you." He not only brings back the memory of what he had told you, but he comforts you. Now, comfort doesn't come like that. I mean, if you hurt my feelings, I can sit there and go, "Holy Spirit, heal me, Holy Spirit, heal me, Holy Spirit, heal me," all day long, and I'm still hurting. You have to mature to the point of saying, "I trust in God. I know that he will heal me. So while you're railing on me and cutting my heart to shreds, I back up and say, Holy Spirit, help me to hold my emotions. Because later I can just run into your arms and weep, and you will hold me, and you'll comfort me, and you'll heal me. I know that you will, so I'm holding it back. I won't let anger have it. I won't let coldness have it. I won't let revenge have it. I will hold it right here in my heart, all this pain, until I can go home and I can pour it into you, because you will comfort me." Only God understands. Only God can heal. You know, we go and tell everybody else we want some sympathy, some empathy, some understanding. You need to know what I just went through. I need to tell you. But it doesn't help. And I'm not saying don't talk to your mate. Maybe they can help get you to God if they're godly. Maybe they can pray for you and help you find the healing. But I'm saying you've got to take everything, anger, emotions. I know what you need to hear if you don't listen to me. Take all that junk. And just put all the pain and do it while they're talking to you. Just start going, "Oh, what are you doing? I'm taking all the pain you're handing me." Why? Well, I'm going to put it in my heart and hold it for a while so I can take it to the Holy Spirit. One time, I've told this before, but you have a lot of new faces. One time somebody just cut me to the quick in my heart. I had a friend and they were just ripping my heart out with things they were saying of rejection. I mean, if you ever feel that, where you're just bleeding down inside because you're hurt so bad. And I didn't say anything. God helped me hold my tongue. And when I hung up the phone, I said, "Holy Spirit, I need healing." And God said, "Go do your dishes." I went, "What? I'm trying to come to you with my pain. I want to be healed. And you're telling me, go do dishes?" He said, "Go do your dishes." So I obediently went in the kitchen. Oddly enough, no tears were coming because at that point, I still never cried, but I still had all that hurt inside, and I'm washing dishes and washing dishes. I must have had a lot of dishes because it seemed like forever. I finally get all the dishes done, and I say, "Now what?" And he said, "Now come to me." At the time, we lived up on a hill, and we had garages way down low over here that belonged to a company. As I laid in the Holy Spirit, and this peace came over me, in the vision, I looked down to the garages, and there's a little turtle down there representing the Holy Spirit, and he stuck his little head out, tenderest eyes you've ever seen, and he had this little grin, and I went, "What?" And he's like, "Follow me," and I follow him behind the garages, and there's this giant bucket full of water, and he's grinning again, you know, look at that. And I'm like, "What is it?" And he said, "My tears. I went and wept all the pain out of this for you." Man, I just got flooding of peace. The minute he said that, this flooding of peace and love. And I didn't cry outwardly yet, but inside I was just weeping in love that he had spent all that time weeping out my pain for me. And then when he delivered it, whew, I was healed. I was healed. But I was healed because of how much he loved me. It just overwhelmed me. It was amazing. I never forget that. That is my most clear experience of who the Holy Spirit of God is. Now, I heard people when I was younger say, "Father, Son, Holy Spirit is like an egg. You got a shell, and you got the white, and you got the yolk." My God is not an egg. And that doesn't help me one bit. But I have come through the years to know my Savior, Jesus Christ, who died and suffered for me, who walks with me, who's my Lord. And I've come to know my Daddy God, who's my Father, my Daddy, who took me as a little child and a baby and a little girl upon his lap. And I've come to know his precious, sweet, tender Holy Spirit, who carries that inward emotional pain for me and heals me. I've come to know all three aspects of God. And all three agree in one. All three are God. But you can know him in these different ways.
Right.
And it will strengthen who you are in him. Go home. What do you need to know of God? Where are you weak? Stop letting the devil own it. Get in the scripture on your weakness. Find every verse you can and say, "God, I don't own that. I need to own that. Please show me how to own that. Please do it in me." Don't just read scripture. Beg God to make it live in you. Begin to own those scriptures that you read.
Amen.
Eat them. Never forget, Patty said, digest them. Eat them and digest them. More than just reading with your eyes.
Amen.
Having these truths in my head is not enough. Facing the enemy with a mental knowledge of God won't work. Facing the enemy, even knowing a lot of scripture, only makes you religious. You have to let God face the enemy, his glory shining through that transparent piece of armor in you. You have to own who God is. You have to own who you are, both as a sinner forgiven and as a saved, transformed, loved, cherished child of God. All my sin is laid on Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, God says, "Search the scriptures. Search them. Search." It doesn't.
How about John 5:39?
Huh? Okay. Romans 12:2 does say your thoughts can be transformed.
Yep.
You can change how you think. Get in the word. Jude 1:20, "But you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." He will guide you. He will guide you. I'm going to move on to this weapon of peace. It's a little quicker. So the first weapon God helped me with this week is the weapon of peace. 2 Corinthians 10:4, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Through God. God is mighty. Romans 8:1-29 talks about there being no condemnation. There is no condemnation in you because you're in Christ. But to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you will fill yourself up in the Spirit, you own life. I mean, you can stand there with an attitude of, go ahead and kill my body. It's just an old car I've been driving anyway. You can't kill me. I am immortal. I will live forever. I will live eternally. And I'll live eternally in a better place than this. So go ahead. Get this free spirit out of this old car. Who cares? You won't fear death. You have to have peace when you go to war. War is spiritual. And one of your greatest weapons is to stay in peace. Don't argue. To be carnal will argue. It will argue. In verse 7 and verse 11, he raised Christ from the dead. He will quicken your mortal body. There is no fear. Perfect love casts out fear. When your fear is gone, you can come to peace. What are you afraid of? Where are you weak? What do you fear? Ask yourself these questions this week and get into Scripture and ask God to conquer these. Strengthen you up in who you are in Him, who He is in you. We are led by the Spirit of God. If we suffer with Him, we will be glorified with Him. We will be glorified with Him. You know, Jesus in John 17 said, I want. He said, it is time that I glorify you, Father. What time was it? Time for him to die. And he said, now the same glory you gave me, I'm giving to them. Time to die. When you die to your flesh, you come alive spiritually. When you die in your body, you come alive in heaven. Right. There's nothing to fear. Right. The glory of God wants to shine through you. He prayed for us. And you know, I love what Apostle Bill used to share. I could have had a Romans 8. Every time I could have had a Romans 8. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You know, they say, I could have had a V8. You could have had a Romans 8. If you realize anything happening to you, God will turn it and work it for your good. Amen. Whatever the devil does to you, God will flip it and use it for you. Amen. Strengthen you up through it and build up this armor. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. God will keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on him. I will keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on me. God promises, switch your mind, focus on God, and come into peace. It is a weapon. In 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. What are your thoughts? Bring them into Christ. Find his mind. Walk in his peace. I'm going to give you some homework peace verses because I want you to own peace. First, I want to give you an illustration. We've been watching this documentary type thing of Wyatt Earp. Wyatt Earp, there was a weekly thing on about Wyatt Earp, and we kind of liked it because he wouldn't drink. He would only drink milk. He didn't smoke cigarettes. He didn't hang out with the girls at the saloon. And he never wanted to kill anyone. He valued life. When he shot to wound. And he took on, this is a real character in history, cowboy. He took on some of the most powerful, fastest gunmen, evil guys. And he won. He never even was wounded in a battle. He died in his 80s, unwounded. So he was very famous. So we're watching this documentary, and this one thing really jumped out. He must have been a Christian. Now, in our weekly thing, they call him deacon, and they say he's a Christian. I didn't find that in the documentary film yet, but there's four more to watch. But this one thing he said, he was fast. He was very fast. But he said, I was not afraid. I did not panic. I don't know if he used the word peace, but what he did when he was in a gunfight was he calmed himself down. He said, I took 1 second to be calm. And in that 1 second of peace, he could draw his gun and aim and hit the target. The people who were scared, panicky, aggressive, they drew. I want you to try that right now. I want you to find a spot. Take the very middle of those curtains and the circle at the top. We're going to do this a few times. Pretend you're a cowboy. You stand up if you need to. Cowboys always stand up to fight, you know. And beside you, probably tired of sitting there. But if you don't want to stand, you don't have to. But I want you to quick draw. When I say go, I want you to draw as fast as you can. Hold your finger and don't move it and see where you really hit. Ready? One, two, three, shoot. What are you aiming at? Anybody hit the circle?
No.
Okay. Now, do you have a weak eye? Do you have a bad eye? I have a bad eye. I'm going to close my good eye, and I'm going to draw and hit with my bad eye. Close one eye and hit with the other eye. Oh, I'm really off. I'm way over on the piano. Now I'm going to do with my good eye. Good eye. Shut your bad eye. Hit with your good eye really fast. One, two, three. Draw. I haven't hit that circle yet. Now this time when we draw, and I say one, two, three, draw, don't do it. I want you to take 1 second, which is 1,001. And while you're saying, pull your arm up when I say one, two, three, 1,001, take your aim, move the finger. Be very calm. Don't worry about being faster. Just one, two, three, 1,001. Move your aim right to that circle and shoot. Ready? One, two, three, draw, 1,001. Right on the circle. Do you see what peace did? 1 second improved Wyatt Earp's aim. He hit exactly where he aimed. The guy that was the fastest in the West missed the mark. So he missed Wyatt Earp. Peace. He was not afraid. 1 second to step into peace. One breath, step back into God. Calm down. Jesus, I want to step into your presence, into your peace. Sometimes it's a split-second decision. Oh, there's fire burning. I got to run. No. 1,001. Where should I run, Jesus? This way. What should I do? Step into Jesus. Come into the peace of God. It is an accurate weapon that knows how to take out your enemy. So take up the weapon of peace this week. Pray, God, that you get that you own that. Practice it. Gunmen weren't good because they just went out and bought a gun and said, oh, I've got some peace, bang. They were too slow. He had to practice speed, then he had to practice peace. Practice. Get into the Word. Own who you are in God. Own who God is in you. Own the weapon of peace and the armor around your loins of God being your life. God facing your enemy. Lord Jesus, we just give this to you. And I do have some verses. I'm going to whip them out really quick here, and they can write them down on peace. Psalm 4, 8. Psalm 29, 11. Psalm 55, 18. Psalm 119, 165. Mark 4, 39. John 14:27, John 16:33, John 20:21, Romans 15:13 and 33, Romans 15:13 and 33, Romans 16:20. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Philippians 4:7-9. Philippians 4:7-9. Colossians 3:15. Second Thessalonians 3:16. 3:18. Second Peter 3:14. I'm going to only take the first one and show you what I want you to do with them. Psalm 4:8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only make me dwell safely. What you do with a verse is begin to pray it. God, I want to lay down in peace. God, I want to sleep in peace. God, you are the only way that I can be safe. God, burn these verses into me. God, help me own this. Help me learn how to even lay down at night and sleep in peace. Help me when I go to bed to bring everything into you and rest my peace in you. God, I want to own this verse. Pray the verses into yourself. Ask God to open it up. Show you. Give it to you. Do it in me, God. Do this in me. I went to bed the other night so discouraged. I was negative, negative, negative. And I did this for like 3 nights in a row. I'm overwhelmed. I'm tired. I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do about that. There's too much for me to do. And I'm just overwhelmed and griping and complaining. And I did that for like 3 nights. At the end of the day, I was just exhausted and negative. And this one night I said, God, I don't want this negativity in me anymore. Please put your joy in me. Please let me wake up, sleep in peace, wake up in your joy. No more negativity. I couldn't change how I thought and felt. I woke up at 5:30 in the morning, smiling. I was like, oh, I'm so happy this morning. I just can't wait to get up, meet with Jesus. And I went, oh, he did it. I'm full of joy. If you believed that he moved at the sound of your voice, you'd let him hear it more. You'd pray more. You'd depend on him more. You would trust him more. Nothing that we're suffering, nothing compares to the glory of God that shall be revealed in you. We need our loins covered about with so many truths. Go home and beg God for some truths where you're weak and in your peace. We need the weapon of peace. Janiyah, can you come? Come on. She wrote a little ditty song for me, and I love it. We have to hear it. Yeah, well, you're going to get over that. These are your children now. Just pretend.
Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. To stand against the attacks of the enemy, we've got to put on the armor of God. Well, first you got to have a core of truth, because you don't want lies being born in you. Know who God made you to be. With that comes freedom, joy, and peace. Draw back in peace. And put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. To stand against the attacks of the enemy, we got to put on the armor of God. Next, we put on righteousness. It protects the front and back of the chest. I'm not good, but you see, it's all about what Jesus did for me. When he died, he took my sin. Now, when you look at me, you see him. I'm not fighting you. You're not fighting me. We're warring against principalities. There's two sides, and we've got to choose whose weapons we're going to use. Satan uses anger, hate, and more, but those aren't the weapons of my Lord. His weapons are quite the opposite: mercy, love, and forgiveness. Choose to forgive. And put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. To stand against the attacks of the enemy, we've got to put on the armor of God.
I love it. Isn't that awesome? Harvey has something to read.
Well, the Lord gave this to me this morning, around 2 in the morning, but I mean, this is, he had me get up and read words that he's given me to remind me, to help me go through what I'm going through right now. Back in 2011, in June, Harvey, would you be willing to see how small you really are so you could see how big I am and experience me? Would you be willing to see your weakness to see my strength? Would you be willing to see your inability to see my ability, so you will depend on it? And yesterday, God brought a verse to my mind, and I felt like he wanted me to share it with you. And I'm not even sharing the whole verse. I'm only sharing part of it. You might want to write it down. Is Psalm 19:7. I don't know if you know the song. In Psalm 19:7 through 11, we'll have to sing it another time. But 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There is four parts to that. I believe God wants each one of us to own those four parts. So let me just say them. The law of the Lord, that is the very word of God, is perfect. The word perfect means entire, integrity, truth, without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sincerely, sound, without spot, undefiled, upright, whole. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting. Converting means to transform or to change the soul. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. If you want your life to change, it comes through the Word of God.
Yes.
Do you understand? So often, religion, it's us trying to do it. We come to church, we hear stuff, or we think about stuff, and then it's like we're going to go try harder. The Word says that we are God's job. We are God's job. If we take and we will let His Word inside of us, His Word, the Word of God, not something about His Word, His Word, it's perfect. It's complete. It's everything we need. It's without flaw, without blemish. It's everything we need. It's complete. And it will convert. It will transform us. It will change the way we, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We need to be reading the Word, reading a lot of the Word, and letting, it's going to do a work inside of us. Agree with it. Don't fight it. But take it in. Let God do the work. Why are we believing what we're believing? Why are we living what we're living? And we want to see change. It comes through the Word of God.